Welcome to Crime Fiction Picks of the Month. I'm Hopeton Hay, host and producer of Diverse Voices Book Review and co-editor of Austin Noir, a short story collection.
I'm Scott Montgomery, another co-editor of Austin Noir. I'm a bookseller down here in Austin, Texas, and write crime fiction, also write about crime fiction a lot.
I'm Molly Odens. I'm also a co-editor of Austin Noir, and I am the senior editor for CrimeReads.com, an online literary magazine that covers crime fiction and mystery and true crime.
And I'm Amanda Moore. I'm an attorney, book reviewer, and writer living here in Austin, Texas, and I am a contributor for Austin Noir.
And on today's edition of Crime Fiction Picks of the Month, we're going to talk about Austin Noir, this great short story collection coming out in May of 2023. We're also going to discuss our picks from this past summer. And lastly, we will have our monthly picks from each of us, the books we want you to read that we recommend. And finally, each of us will discuss our latest updates and projects. So let's go ahead and get started. Molly Odents is the mastermind behind this short story collection, Austin Noir, which is being published by Akashic Books in May of 2023. So we're going to start off with Molly talking about how she came up with this idea and put this together.
So it's not particularly original in that it's Austin Noir is part of a series that Akashic Noir has been doing for over 20 years now of city-based collections, geographic-based collections, where there's usually an editor who's based in that area, and they recruit a bunch of local writers, and those writers craft stories that explore their unique setting in various layered ways. So it's kind of like a form of dark tourism almost. But also a way of showing your city in the light that you feel like, in an honest light and a playful light at the same time. And anyone can propose one of these collections. If you are from a city that hasn't published one yet and has a fairly sizable potential audience for the collection. So Austin is a big enough city now that I just emailed Akashic Books one day. I emailed my friend Ibrahim, who works there at the time. He's now an editor at Viking. And I asked him if they wanted to publish an Austin Noir collection. And he was like, sure.
Talk about the recruitment of Scott Montgomery.
Yeah, so I've been doing mystery stuff with Scott for almost 10 years now. Scott is my mystery mentor. So I worked with him at Book People before I started working for Crime Reads. And once I pitched Austin Noir, I knew that I wanted to do it with Scott and with Hopeton and get my best crime friends involved. And I knew that way we would reach a really good variety of authors.
Scott, talk about your involvement with Austin Noir.
I like to think it was about 10 years ago my involvement started with that, because it was basically Molly and I hanging, because Molly worked with me at Book People, and it was us kind of saying, there should be an Austin Noir on this Akashic site. And then the next thing we would say after there should be an Austin Noir is, we should be the editors of the Austin Noir book. And so it was always this. And there was this rumor that had been going around that the editor, he was the one who chose it. You couldn't really bring you didn't really bring the idea to him. He had to kind of sort of come up with it himself, or you had to suggest it was his idea. Found out that was completely wrong. Molly did. And so when she asked me, in fact, she asked me at the right time, because I think it was right when the pandemic hit or right before. So it gave me something to do to kill time in my apartment to kind of round up a bunch of authors. One which we'll be discussing a lot today, who I thought I was doing a favor for, who ended up, I think, doing a favor for us. So,
yeah. Yeah, he's going to be a big driver of Austin Noir's potential success now.
I'm looking forward to reading his story. If it's anything like his book, I'm a fan already.
It's quite bleak.
Well, it's light, but compared to that book, it's it's light. That's the way to go.
So Amanda Moore, how did you get involved with Austin Woare?
Oh, well, I first started trying to write a short story for the Texas Bar Journal, and I was published, and I was so excited. And so then when Hopeton came and said, "Hey, would you like to contribute a story?" I was like, "Sure." And then I had to go look up exactly what are the requirements for what makes a good noir, right? You want to make sure that you're true to the style. And I ended up reading a noir from another series, and I was like, okay, I can do this. And so I just let my mind just go where it wanted to go and produce the story, and the editors liked it. You all three liked it. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm on the right path. I guess I wrote the right thing. So.
And I'll tell you, I was honored when Molly asked me to be part of this team, because Molly and Scott are so incredible when it comes to crime fiction, and really my mentors when it comes to crime fiction. And I will tell you, Scott made the mistake of inviting me to a crime fiction panel at Book People. When I saw Molly in action, I said, she is the perfect balance to Scott. We got a whole different perspective on crime fiction with Molly. So seeing Molly,
and did you like the way that Molly made fun of me during that?
It's a toss up, Scott. I don't know. It's a little bit of.
So we got a baby boomer and me. We got a Gen Z and Scott, and you are a millennial, Molly.
No, no.
Yes.
I'm a little bit older. Thank you, though. I'm Gen X.
So. Oh, you're Gen X. Yeah. So having that, you know, a different perspective, and having Molly, she was very much into the international crime fiction authors and women crime fiction authors. Not that Scott doesn't do that, but Molly really leans into that. So I was real excited when Molly asked me to participate in it. And I went out and, you know, recruited a few people, including Amanda Moore. So I'm going to say thank you to Craig Moore, who is Amanda's husband, who told me that his wife was an aspiring crime fiction writer and a big reader of crime fiction. So it all started with Scott coming to me, Scott and Molly working together at Book People, me seeing Molly in action, and attorney Craig Moore inviting me to learn more about attorney Amanda Moore's crime writing skills. I think we got all that right.
This sounds more sorted than I ever imagined. So.
One question of lawyers turning into great crime writers.
Yeah, well. I mean, she's got quite a few. We got Alifair Burke. Huh. You know, we got John Grisham. Mark Pryor. We got Meg Gardner.
Yeah.
Yep.
We got some great role models.
A lot of the Austin ones in particular. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, kind of as a semi redneck bohemian, anytime I can help eliminate a lawyer and create a writer, I'm kind of all for that.
So next up, we have summer picks. And Scott, Amanda, and I, and we've kind of recruited Molly on this, all have to select it. The Devil Takes You Home by Gabino Iglesias. I will say that Heat 2 that Meg Gardner co-wrote, along with Mark Pryor's book,
Fly Around Sundown.
Those were two strong contenders that we really enjoyed, but we came to a consensus on The Devil Takes You Home. So I'm going to give it over to Scott and Amanda to start off the discussion.
Okay, well, one, I want to, Amanda, and forgive me, I feel like I need to apologize to you. And I've always loved your taste in what you bring to this show, but I have a higher respect for you picking this book as your summer read, because I didn't realize what a hardcore broad you were. This is a dark, dark, bleak book.
Don't let
this is the kind of book that I love. And I'm always and as much as I, want to have put it in other customers' hands at the bookstore, I'm always like, okay, can this person handle this book? I have to say, I was surprised that you were somebody who could handle this book.
Thank you.
And as much as I talk about it being very dark and very gritty and very bleak, it's also a very human story. Gabino Iglesias is an author I've been a big fan of for a long time. He has been doing a lot of short story work. He's also done stuff in the horror section. He has had two books on two smaller presses, and he got picked up by Mulholland Press for this book. They did a really wonderful profiling him on the New York Times. So this is an author who's really getting his due with a book that's really getting his due. And what I love about it too, it's probably his most accessible novel that he's written, but he didn't compromise at all who he is as a writer on it. The basic setup of it is this young man who's living, he's married with a child, he's very sick. Basically, because of his circumstances and poverty, ends up becoming kind of a hitman, and it's not like a cool hitman. It's very cold. It's very dark. There's nothing glamorous about it, like you'll see in some hitman books. And I don't want to get in too much without giving some stuff away, but after a very horrible thing happens, he basically gets recruited by this guy who's been giving him these jobs of go down with me and this other guy, and we're going to rob this cartel shipment of money. And it's
which is always a good idea, Scott. Yep. That's always a brilliant idea.
I mean, that's how bad this guy's circumstances are. So it's basically these guys going on what they know could be a suicide mission, but the payoff is going to be huge if they pull it off.
Now, I'm going to jump in here because Amanda, like Scott, I was actually surprised that you selected this book.
Yes. So
can I enjoy Marvel briefly at the male surprise.
Don't let the smile fool you, people. Okay. The thing is, what I liked is I like his literary voice. I like the way he writes. And this is my first book to read by him. And I'm a fan. But he had things in there. And you know I wrote down a quote. He has, none of us are as brave as we think we are. Okay, stuff like that. But this one, you can wrap a shotgun in flowers, but that doesn't make the blast less lethal. I mean, he had these one-line zingers, right, through the book. And so I really liked his description. It was suspenseful. At the same time, I had to stop reading and go, oh my gosh, this is, I have to keep reading, even though I'm terrified right now, but I have to keep reading. So, but yeah, I thought it was a great summer pick for us. So
the line, I'm not going to give it away, but the line where the title is used is really good as well.
Yes. Yes.
Molly, what did you think of it?
I really liked the book. I thought it was very creepy and also incredibly capable in terms of the plotting. I thought it was really well crafted. You can see someone who's really thinks really hard about their craft and also thinks really hard about genre and how to bridge the gap between crime and horror. And my favorite thing about seeing Gabino talk about the book was going to an event where him and Michael Seidlinger were talking about Anybody Home, which is a really great home invasion novel that Michael wrote that came out in August. And they were both saying really creepy things during conversation with each other right next to the kids section. And it was amazing.
Well, we're getting a lot of ambient. Who's the ambient noise? Is that part of the crime fiction podcast here?
I don't know. It makes me kind of concerned. Like, Molly, look behind you. You know, watch out.
Yeah, there may be a creature behind you. You're talking about the Gabino novel. And actually, I found a quote that I want to share with you. This is from the novel. And, you know, Gabino deals a lot with class issues in this novel and the struggles of growing up poor and poverty. His mother was a drug addict. His father disappeared. His mother was from Puerto Rico, but she was American. His father was from Mexico. And what he says is being broke is not a financial status. It's a state of mind. It breaks you. Every setback pushes you closer to believing you don't deserve better, that you're struggling because you deserve it, because you're worthless. Melissa deserved better. So one of the through lines for this story is his love and regret of relationship with his wife and his daughter. There is love and there is regret throughout the story.
I do want to tell a quick story since it does tie in with Austin Noir, is when we first decided to put it together, because one of the things with Austin Noir is you want to have diverse voices. You want to have people from different backgrounds telling stories. And so we definitely knew we needed a Latino voice at being Austin. And And first person came to mind was Scabino, because I loved his writing. And we've been friends for, I should give some disclosure, Scabino and I've been friends for about a decade. And so I thought, well, oh, great, we're going to get a great writer. But I was mainly thinking of what a nice person and what a great person I was going to be, because I was going to throw my friend Scabino a bone. And he was, you know, we were going to help him out. We were going to help his career.
And now he's throwing us a bone because his book is doing so well.
Yes. In fact, when they gave the layout of the book, of the front of the book, Scabino is the author's name who is at the top of the list. He's before Ace Atkins. He's before Jeff Abbott. He's before all of our other name authors. He's at the top. So, and what's funny is when I ran into him right before The Devil Takes You Home came out, I said, I thought I was the guy doing you the favor. And it looks like, you know, you're profiled on New York Times. And all this, I said, I think you're going to end up helping us. And he goes, you don't know how often he is. I've seen so many books, you know, those Akashic books that took place in places I lived in. And I said, I was never one of the authors on there. He goes, I've been dying to be one in one of those. He was thanking us as well. But I still think he's the one who in the long run is going to be doing us the favor.
I think Molly had her hand up. Molly, you were going to say something? No, you're not going to say anything.
I was just admiring the cover for Austin Noir. It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's also available for pre-order now.
Oh, it's available for pre-order now. So absolutely, audience, order Austin Noir. Now, how do I pronounce it? I'm not French and I didn't take French.
The great thing about the word noir is that it's not only an adjective that's turned into a noun, but it's a French word that was coined to a French term that was coined to describe how American cinema and novels had taken a dark turn during World War II, because the French were cut off from access to American media for like about 5 years. And during that time, American cinema in particular, partially as a response to blackout orders and the fact that 1930s costume musicals were too expensive to make in terms of like silk rationing, Hollywood switched over to a lot more noir filmmaking. And correspondingly, there was a lot of hard-boiled detective fiction coming out. So the French were like, oh, the Americans are finally being introspective and looking at the dark side of the so-called American dream. We shall coin a term because we are French.
I love that. I vote that Molly writes a book for us on the history of genres, because I would buy that. I would read it, promote it, and everything.
All right. So to wrap it up, The Devil Takes You Home by Scabino Iglesias is our summer pick of the month. And now to close out, monthly picks. Scott has Hell and Back by Craig Johnson, one of my favorite authors.
Yes, I'm curious to see what the audience reaction is going to be to this from his fans. It's a very different book. In fact, it wouldn't have shocked me if, like, after the first chapter, Rod Serling came up and said, "Imagine, if you will, a sheriff in normally from Wyoming finds himself in a 1972 town in Montana during a blizzard with only two." With no memory of who he is, and two gold coins. So it's you're not quite sure what's going on, more of a supernatural thing, and then it cuts back between, I don't think I'm giving too much, I'm not going to say much more than that.
All right, we're going to go to Molly with Killers of a Certain Age by Deanna Rayborn.
This was a wonderful novel of four hit women of a certain age who are looking forward to retiring after many years being very successful at their hit woman professions. And they find out that their organization is actually trying to take them out rather than gift them with the retirement that they have been promised. So of course they gather their incredible talents together and find a way to defeat all enemies while complaining about sciatica and menopause. And it was wonderful. And I loved it.
So Amanda Moore has a hit woman also.
Yes, the female assassin, right? So the book I chose for September was They Come at Night by Yasmin Ingo. And I hope I pronounced her name correctly, but she's a really good writer. She her first book on the series was Her Name is Night, and it's K-N-I-G-H-T. I thought the title was great. They Come at Night was really good. But the first book was about, you know, how the character became an assassin. And so the second book talks about the organization she's a part of. You know, there's something coming at the organization, and you start seeing more of a history of how she's tried to live a normal life, even though her job is to assassinate people. So normalizing assassination, I hope that doesn't mean we're going somewhere. but, you know, it's really kind of digging into the character, like they're trying to still have regular emotions, not just be like a sociopath or something, but still wanting relationships. I imagine in Molly is still wanting friendships. So
also still wanting sex. They still want a lot of sex.
Well, there you go. Everything normal.
Is there sex in the book, Amanda?
You know, there are hints at it. But then you have to get back to talking about something else. So it takes you there. You think it's going there, but then you get flashbacks and stuff like that. So
she doesn't go there.
Not quite.
She doesn't go there.
But at some point, maybe that's part of the, you know, you have to read it to find out exactly what happened. Sorry.
Hopkins is now a little less interested in that book.
Okay, there's some really good moments, okay? but you don't know how to wield a knife until you read a character. And you're like, oh, that's how you hold a knife. Okay, thanks.
I was going to ask Molly, is there sex in Killers of a Certain Age? Since this is a podcast.
I'm seeing an entirely different side to Amanda this on this show.
Put her on a podcast and everything changes. Molly, any sex?
Yeah, there's plenty. Oh, yeah, that's what I interjected to say. There was tons of sex in Killers of a Certain Age. These ladies are not going to let anything stop them from enjoying themselves, much less being pursued by many killers.
So if you're looking for the chase version of the assassin, They Come at Night. If you are looking for the fully lived version of the assassin, where they share that part of the life, Killers of a Certain Age.
So, Hopkins, which one are you reading first?
Hell and Back.
Oh, that's a good save. Good save, sir.
So my book is Valley of Shadows by Rudy Ruiz, who lives in San Antonio. And it's set in the fictional border town of Oviedo, Texas in 1883. And Oviedo in Spanish means oblivion. And when the sheriff, his wife, and the oldest child are killed in a ritualistic manner and their young daughters kidnapped, the Anglo mayor and bank president recruit the former sheriff of Oviedo, Solitario Cisneros, to pick up the badge again to solve the murders and find the kidnapped children. When more murders and kidnappings happen in the town, the Anglo-American community leaders blame the Mexican-Americans and the Apaches, and there's incredible tension and conflict in this novel. The novel mixes magical realism, mystery, and the Mexican-Texas Apache history that provides a narrative primarily from the viewpoint of the subjugated. And what's interesting about this character, Solitario, is he is haunted by the death of his wife and a family curse, and can see ghosts who play a supporting role in helping to solve the mystery. This book was really very interesting. I learned a lot about the history of the border. This town, Oviedo, was originally on the Mexican side of the border, but then the Rio Grande shifted. And I didn't know that the river actually periodically would shift. And since the river is the boundary for Mexico and the United States, when it shifts to one side, this Mexican town all of a sudden became an American town. Oh, wow. So that was this was a really, really interesting book.
That sounds like something I want to read.
Yeah, I really want to read that too.
All right. So we're now at the point of everyone gives their latest update, promotion of their job, whatever it is they're doing. And so, Scott, what are you promoting or wanting to talk about briefly?
Just a book I started writing that I'm kind of excited about. The working title is called Henchman. And it's basically the idea of a crime novel from the view of the henchman, the guy who you send to rough up the detective or get the, or the gangster get, in a sense, to get the guitar player to stay away from his girl, the guy that's always behind the guy, kind of, that's the enforcer. I hadn't seen something done from that point of view, and I kind of thought it'd be kind of fun, and I'm doing it, and I'm having a lot of fun writing it right now, and it's going very well, which is surprising.
Molly, what's going on?
Well, I recently finished up a fall preview of a whole lot of books. So if you are interested, check out crimereads.com. And there is a whole 108 books coming out this fall and into the next year that are in one post together, our fall most anticipated. It's very fun. I wrote 75 blurbs for it.
I checked out that link, and I am going to go through every single book that you have on there, and had some really cool descriptions under each one. That's really cool.
All right. And Amanda, what do you have going on?
Yeah. So, of course, you know the short story coming out next year. So excited about that. And I'm still reviewing books. And so I am now going to be a contributor to Diverse Voices Book Review. And I have my first interview set up. The author's name is Margaret Burnham, and she wrote a book called By Hands Now Known. And Molly, you know I bring visual aids. There you go. Jim Crow's Legal Executioners.
I've heard such good things about that book.
Yeah, so I'm excited, and it's really going to be a cool experience. And I'm still writing. So, you know, I already have one book finished, so I decided to start on my second.
All right. And I am currently reading a very interesting book. It's called The Third Reconstruction, America's Struggle for Racial Justice in the 21st Century, written by UT Austin history professor Peniel E. Joseph. And so I'm real excited about that particular book. He basically says we had three different eras of Reconstruction. The first one was from 1865 to 1898. And 1898 is when we had the Wilmington Massacre. Second era Reconstruction from 1954, Brown versus Topeka Board of Education Supreme Court decision, to 1968, the Martin Luther King assassination. And he says the third era of Reconstruction started in 2008 with the election of Barack Obama. He describes America as sort of being Janus face. On the one hand, we've had progress and things getting better. On the other hand, white supremacy and racist policies sometimes come back over and over and over again. And interesting enough, his interesting critique of the Barack Obama presidency, especially the dependence on really, truly believing in American exceptionalism, which he really doesn't believe in, American exceptionalism, and taking that optimistic approach, he doesn't really look at it that way. So it's a very interesting book. So once again, thank you for listening to Crime Fiction Picks of the Month. I'm Hopeton Hay, host of Diverse Voices Book Review and co-editor of Austin Noir.
Oh, you're just sounding so French now.
Scott, your turn.
it was a pleasure. Scott Montgomery, co-editor of Austin Noir, bookseller around Austin, Texas.
Thanks for having me. Molly Odence, senior editor, Crime Reads, and co-editor of Austin Noir.
I'm Amanda Moore, an attorney and book reviewer and writer, living here in Austin, Texas, and a contributor to Austin Noir.
I'm Hopeton Hay, host and producer of the Crime Fiction Picks of the Month. Thank you for listening.